Welcome to episode 270 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlearn to Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or you're just tuning in, we're happy that you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. And we'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Don, and this week I'm joined by my fellow Outlander travel agents, Lindsay, George, Elizabeth, and Sandy. You may remember from past episodes that we are really big fans of the 49th state. Alaska is a bucket list destination for many people, and it appeals to all ages, and that makes it perfect to go as a group. Whether you have some family and friends that you want to travel with, or you're looking to join an established group for extra amenities, we can help with that. Tonight, we want to tell you about a couple of group opportunities that we have available for 2020. So let's get started. So when do they actually travel to Alaska?
So for the purpose of cruising, which is kind of what we want to talk about tonight, you're looking at May to September, with May and September being the shoulder seasons. And then, of course, it gets busier and sunnier in the middle of the summer. Right. So, yeah.
Yep. Well, and more animals come out, you know, the season too, like the salmon start running in late May. And so if you go in midsummer, then you really get the big run. You can see you some.
Yeah, and also the length of the days is really long. So, I mean, the sun's up until, what, 10:30 at night?
Depending on where you are, it can be up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That. But if you're cruising, yeah, that's probably about where it is, because you're far enough south. I mean, Anchorage, you know, people talk about how cold Alaska is, but that sort of inside passage in Anchorage can actually be quite temperate, you know.
I saw this week it's cold right now, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is January, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like -37 in Fairbanks.
Yeah, it can
that's
be
pretty cool.
It can be in the set, but if I recall, you guys went to Fairbanks and
in February.
Yeah, sure.
We were there in March. We weren't wearing shorts. It was unseasonably warm. Yeah. They actually had their hottest year on record last year, I think.
But the cruise season, to answer your question, Donna, is really like mid to late May to like early September.
And I would say peak is June, July, and that's usually what tends to fill up first, and then the historic tourism and activities tend to fill up quickly in that time as well.
Yeah.
It can be nice traveling in the shoulder season, but you have to keep your expectations about what might be open or.
Yeah. Cause I've been there in like after Labor Day, and some restaurants and stuff can start to close down and things like that. So that can start.
And then they're also just opening up in late May. So you'll get the trainees, like they'll have just gotten there to work for the summer. And so they're still learning. And so when I was there in late May, I encountered a little bit of slow service here and there. Not that it was a big deal. I mean, it wasn't like I was late to see, you know, the mountain didn't move before I went to go see it. But you know, it was a, you could tell that people were still learning their jobs. So if you want a little bit more of an efficient trip, it's good to go sort of mid to late season for that.
So if you were, so there are a couple opportunities. I know you can start in Seattle and do kind of a loop trip, or you can go one way from like Seattle to Anchorage or Anchorage back to Seattle, or even going in and out of Vancouver. So what are the advantages and disadvantages to each?
First, I don't think there's any one ways out of Seattle. Are there, Lindsay, do you know?
Not one ways. They're all round trip out of Seattle.
Oh, okay.
The one ways tend to go up, the coast of Alaska.
I've seen some like round trips that I guess they're not true round trips because they'll like start in Vancouver and end in Seattle, but that's still just inside passage.
Okay.
So, and that is, I saw those like in May because we're going to be in Vancouver in May. So
okay.
I was looking.
That's interesting. I wonder, is it repositioning? Is it like, does it keep doing that? Like Seattle to Vancouver?
I didn't check to see if it did it all season.
Okay.
But they always have to stop in Canada. So whether you're leaving and returning to Seattle or you're going from Vancouver to Seward, which is, if you're going to Anchorage, you stop, that's Seward is where you get off, but it's still like a 3-hour drive. But yeah, it has to stop in Canada no matter what. So even if you do the round trip Seattle, you're going to stop in Canada.
And fun fact, this is slightly off topic, but important if you're thinking about a cruise like this, is Canada has pretty strict laws about entry if you have a past DUI. So that's one of those moments that as a travel agent, we don't ever, you know, it's not our business. So just putting it out there. If you're thinking about calling your travel agent, if you have a past DUI, you might not be able to get into Canada. And in that case, you may be denied entry onto the cruise. So it is a common problem just because that's not a standard travel agent question to ask.
Yeah.
And also not just travel agents, but people book the cruises not knowing that their past, which could be 20, 30, 40 years behind them, could come up and haunt them. They may have completely forgotten about it. Yeah. So it's a big deal. And Canada is not the only country that does that, but for Alaskan cruises, this is important to note. Mm-hmm.
So I would say as the resident Washingtonian, I would say like one of the advantages of going in and out of Seattle is that you get to see beautiful Seattle and maybe do a little extension on this end. Maybe one of the disadvantages is that, you're going to do that inside passage loop. That's pretty much what you're going to do in and out of Seattle. You're not going to get to kind of go up the coast. If you go out of Vancouver, you go out of Seward, or you go out of anything else, you can kind of, your itinerary is going to be a little bit broader.
Yeah, I completely agree. And a lot of my clients do want to go out of Seattle just because they think it's cheaper to fly there. And sometimes it is. They have family in Seattle. So they're like, hey, I want to, visit my family actually anywhere in Washington. And then I'll sail out of Seattle. So it does make sense to do it. And if this is, the thing about Alaska is it's huge, enormous. And when you do a cruise that is just a round trip cruise, you're literally just seeing the inside passage. And if you think of Alaska as the size of your hand, which it kind of is in some ways, it's the thumb.
That's a really good way to put it. Your thumb.
Yeah. Actually, this is Alaska. Can you see our audience?
Can you guys all see this?
Yeah. And the thumb is the inside passage. And then this is like the Kenai Peninsula. And then your palm is basically the mainland. So it actually, it's a good way to look at it. You're just seeing the thumb. So
she's flipping you.
I am not.
We here at Outlander Travel do not condone.
That was actually a trick that I learned from an Alaskan to show the map of Alaska. Yeah, she would always show us where we were in Alaska by pointing at a spot on her hand. So for me, if this is a bucket list trip and you want to see Alaska, you're not going to see all of it unless you have months and months and years. Right. But if you want to see as much of it as you possibly can, extend your trip a little bit and see some of the land as well, which means doing a one way. The round trip will really just sort of get you up there and back. For perspective, I've taken 2 Alaskan cruises and I'm about to take a third. I've taken a round trip and I've taken a one way, and I saw beautiful scenery on both trips. I stopped in many of the same places on both trips, but I really felt like the one way gave me a lot more Alaska. It really did. Yeah. And some of that was just being able to see Anchorage.
Yeah, and some of that is like, if Denali's on your bucket list, you're going to be, you're going to love an inside passage cruise, but you're going to be really sad because you can't get off and get to Denali. And that's, for some people, that is a very important thing. And you don't realize it until you're on the ship. And that's why it's important to have those conversations with your travel advisor or your travel partners and find out, what do you want out of this? Because if you want to see animals, you're going to see some from the ship. You're going to see wildlife in Alaska. It's abundant. It's almost impossible not to see wildlife in Alaska. You'd have to try really, really hard. But you're not going to get that same feel. We should probably talk about why Alaska is so great for groups. It just appeals to me. It appeals to such a wide range of people. Like you could make a lot of different people who like a lot of different things happy on an Alaska cruise.
Yeah. I think the main group that I've seen so far, and part of this is because this is my main target audience, is families, extended families especially. And a lot of times, grandma and grandpa, it's their bucket list, but they want to take the whole family with them. It's such a great extended vacation. And I cannot tell you, everybody comes back from those really happy because they got to spend time together in nature, but with the comfort of a cruise ship.
Some of our favorite trips as a family have been Yosemite. I talk about that a lot, but because of how awesome it is there, and it's such a gorgeous national park. Well, the whole state of Alaska feels like a national park. So for kids especially, it's just awesome.
Really. Well, and there's varying levels of activity too. So You know, we have float plane adventures that are wheelchair accessible, or at least mobility for people who are mobility challenged. There are options, and you can book those so that everybody can fly on the same plane and see the same things. But there isn't this stress of, you know, how am I going to get up these tiny stairs or what, you know, whatever, because small planes are small planes. Likewise, if, you know, the kids want to go glacier trekking, they can do that. While, you know, maybe mom and dad go do a whitewater rafting or something, or, you know, a rafting trip, while grandma and grandpa take a helicopter up to the top and ride on the back of a dog sled. You know, there's like different levels of activities that you can do that would suit any health or physical condition, so that everyone can enjoy the trip in their own way.
And if you love seafood, that is definitely the place.
If you love food in general, the food in Alaska is incredible. And the beer. And the beer.
And beer.
Here's to Alaskan beer. And we've talked about this before with Alaskan beer, because it's also great because it is really hard to get anywhere outside of Alaska because it's just so far away. They don't ship it down. So I think, Lindsay, you've said that you get some of the bigger Alaskan breweries in Seattle.
I have the advantage of being over here on the West Coast in the Pacific Northwest. I can get quite a few Alaskan beers. And I'm kind of happy with that. But Alaska beer is great because their water quality is so good. I think it just helps really showcase the flavor in the beer.
Yes.
They're starting with a cleaner, cleaner base.
Yeah.
That's nice. So this would be a perfect trip for, you know, if you have a group of friends who love beer, or this is a perfect destination for runners too, right? Sandy, when are the two big races? There's a midnight.
Back in the middle of summer, there's one that's like around 4th of July weekend. I think it's the mayor's midnight run. And then there's a big wildlife. I forget what it's called, but that one is the Jeff Galloway sponsored one. If you're into running intervals, and that one is usually in August. But I was kind of looking at this again because we have a new running store in town, and I was thinking about approaching them to do an Alaska night. And there's a lot of different kind of races. There's one that goes like straight up the side of a mountain.
That sounds like fun.
Some people love that kind of stuff.
There are several big beer festivals in Alaska, and one of them is in August, I think around the time of that race.
And food festivals too. I mean, you can really make a party out of this. So,
I went to the state fair when I was there, which is around Labor Day, and they had a beer garden there too. And that's where I had my oysters from Prince William Sound, and they were awesome. Really good.
So now if you're planning a group, your own group, there's so many choices as far as cruise lines.
Mm-hmm.
Why choose one over the other?
Well, that depends on who's going and what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's ships that have racetracks on the top of them, you know, which is really appeals to the younger, you know, crowd. And then there's ships that don't have a lot of bells and whistles, but are kind of more refined.
And get dressed up for dinner.
Yeah, they do like formal nights and stuff, which would appeal to like an older, more mature crowd. but they all do have something for everyone. So it's kind of just a matter of learning what's out there. And
talk to your travel agent and they can match you with the right.
Ding, 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 ding. Elizabeth's got the right answer.
I got it right. Yay.
There are some ships that have amazing thermal spa areas that face the front of the ship with a whole wall of windows that you can see out while you're laying on the heated lounge chairs.
Well, and Sandy mentioned some of the big ships with like the racetrack and stuff, that they also, that the bigger the ship, they have these huge observation lounges. So you can see the beauty of the glaciers inside in temperature controlled, climate controlled situation with snacks and drinks. And so, yeah, it's sort of, you know, if you're really just wanting to be on a cruise with some beautiful scenery, then some of those big ships might be a great way for you to do it. Whereas if you really want to get out and, you know, get into a Zodiac and zip around, then you need a much smaller ship to do that.
Some of them have puppies in the piazza. Mm-hmm.
Well, my mom went on one, and one of the big things that she remarked on was the fact that there was a park ranger. Basically, they were going through the fjords and they actually brought a park ranger on board to come and talk to the group and basically explain all the different glaciers.
That was my favorite part of our Holland America cruise.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Glacier Bay where they pulled a little boat up next and they climbed the ladder mm-hmm. and climbed onto the boat.
She said it was fascinating.
Yeah, they brought in a Native Alaskan on too, and he was telling stories of just his culture and growing up, and you know, it was a cool blend of old and new, because he was young and was more Americanized, you know, but his grandmother still remembered like having seagull eggs, which are now illegal and stuff, you know. So it was a good story. It was really cool. I probably wouldn't do it justice if I tried to. You just have to go on the cruise and yeah. hope that you see him.
And many should have a park ranger or somebody come on board. I think it's actually part of the national parks thing is mm-hmm. you kind of need to. It's important to know that most ships you can't, you know, a lot of people talk to me about wanting to see the glaciers from their balcony, which you can do, but you may not be able to hear the park ranger's commentary. And I will tell you, the glaciers are much more interesting when you have a park ranger telling you about them, because mm-hmm. after 5 minutes of looking at a big wall of ice, you're kind of wondering what else you need to know about these glaciers. Yes. I mean, I'm just being completely honest. They're beautiful and I could stare at them all day, but you'll learn a lot more yeah. if you do. So you're going to kind of want to go up onto deck or into a public area where you can hear the PA system.
They actually did. So when they opened the bow of the ship for us to view the glaciers, pretty sure we could hear the ranger out there.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, we could. We could hear them. They were broadcasting it out there.
But then from our balcony, we couldn't, but we could turn our TV on and our room to a certain
yeah.
channel.
Yeah, sometimes it's yeah. on TV, yeah, for yeah. sure.
And I will say, when it comes to the educational portion, if you're listening, that's something that's extremely important to you. There are a few cruise lines that take that educational component even further and have very special guides who are either former professors or marine biologists. On board that are there to kind of bring Alaska to life on board for you and even accompany you on some very special Zodiac expeditions, things like that. And those don't think you have to get on just, I mean, I know there are the adventure cruise lines where, you know, you're really, you know, you're doing an expedition and traveling like you're doing an expedition, but there are some more luxury, smaller lines that offer that same experience. And that's really great, especially if you have a party that's made up of people who one person, and I just had this happen with clients where one person has challenges with mobility and needs the elevator and might be spending more time on board and want those luxury type things. There is a way to get both. So just know that that's an option.
Something for everyone. That's a really good point. Something for everyone. And the different ship sizes, you know, if you're a people person, you're going to probably want a smaller ship because you'll get to know your fellow passengers more, whereas you can get lost on a big ship and just hang out with your family. So, or if you're taking your family, you don't want to spend all your time with them, large ship might be helpful so that you don't see them all the time.
I can ditch them.
Yeah, there's lots of reasons. And we talked a little bit about family groups, but then friend groups are a perfectly valid way to do it too. And, you know, if you have a bunch of older couples or even a bunch of older people who want to go together and the kids have flown the coop and they just want to hang out together, it's a great item. Again, it's on many people's bucket lists. Mm-hmm. It's not a cheap vacation. Right. Alaska is expensive anyway. Just fly to Alaska and stay there. It's expensive. So an Alaskan cruise definitely is not the cheapest cruise you're going to be able to take in your lifetime. So going with people who are at the same financial place that you are and being able to hang out together, have dinner together and talk about your adventures during the day, not necessarily do everything together, but definitely spend time together.
So just to kind of counter that just a tad bit, I had a group last year that went because one of the people it might be their last big trip like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of their friends wanted to make sure they made the trip with them. And so I had people who insisted on balconies because they wanted that experience. But then I had some people who just took a guaranteed inside cabin and they paid quite a bit less actually, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. than what the balconies were. So they knew they wanted to get on the ship. They were on Norwegian. They had the drink package. So they, you know, they ticked off a lot of the things they wanted. Basically what was important to them was one, being there, and two, spending money on the excursions, mm-hmm. you know? So you can, you know, it's still not the cheapest cruise you yeah. can take for sure, but it can be affordable too, even if people aren't quite at everyone's level.
Yeah.
If you just want to make sure you're on that trip.
You can work.
And you can always hang out in the lounges and things like that, and you're going to see everything.
Yeah. And yeah. I think there's different arguments for that. And I certainly, I have had clients book an inside stateroom because it was important for them to go to Alaska and they were going to go one way or another. And, you know, a balcony was out of their budget. You're right. There are less expensive ways to do it. And so you just sort of, you know, then I have people who indulge in a suite for the one time ever because this is their, you know, they've been dreaming of Alaska their whole life and they want to make sure they're comfortable and, you know, large accommodations the whole time.
Once you have a balcony, I don't think I could go back to Alaska without one though. Like I think I should have done it inside to begin with. Cause seeing that otter float by while we were drinking wine on the balcony, that was like the coolest. That was one
watching
of the coolest.
Bear run on the shore. Like, yeah.
Oh yeah. Watching the bear run. And we saw so many cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the he was pointed it out. Yeah. We were like listening to the TV and she's like, and if you're on the starboard side and you can look out, and we're like, oh, that's us. You know, so we
rushed to the window.
That's so cool. Yeah, I saw it from my balcony. So that, you know, because you're, and of course, when you're on the balcony, you're a little bit lower than most of the other decks in most cases, like all the public decks. Mm-hmm. So we were a little bit closer to the whale tail when it came up.
Yeah, and I think that's why we could see the otter because we were a little closer to the water and you could just see him floating there with his little
little
fuzzy
head,
little hands, little prayer hands, little otter prayer hands.
Yeah, so cute. So cute.
Well, Elizabeth, I understand you have a group coming up.
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about it?
The space is limited, so but we actually, I decided that I was going to take my family to Alaska this year. I've been 3 times, my husband's been once, and my children have been 0 times. So we decided we'd do Alaska. And one thing that the cruise lines, and I believe pretty much all of them offer some sort of land extension. Many of them will call them cruise tours, which is a fancy way of saying it's a cruise and some land as well. And I decided to go with Royal Caribbean because I'm taking my family. And another family is joining me, and then anyone else who wants to come along. And we chose Royal Caribbean, one of their smaller ships. It's the Radiance of the Seas, because that's one of the ones that does the one-way cruises. We're cruising from Vancouver up to Anchorage, and that is, well, up to the Seward area. And that is starting June 26th. And it's a 7-night cruise. Stops in, we go to up the Inside Passage cruising, then stops in Ketchikan, Icy Strait Point, and Juneau, and then Skagway, and then we cruise the Hubbard Glacier. And one thing that we haven't mentioned is when these cruises, we've talked about it on other episodes, but when the cruises go through the glaciers or the fjords, they do sort of, they enter the area and then they'll gently spin. So you don't have to be on one side of the ship or the other. You'll see from wherever you are eventually. So again, you might miss the bear running across if you're on the wrong side of the ship at that time, but I didn't see any bears when I've gone. So there you go. You may not see a bear at all. Then you disembark in Seward and they put you on a motor coach and you go to Alyeska, which we talked about on other episodes. It is the finest hotel in all of Alaska, I believe is how it's billed. It's a ski resort.
It's the only ski resort.
Yeah. There's a like Four Diamond restaurant on the mountaintop. And so I visited it on a site inspection, but I haven't been able to stay there. So I wanted to stay there. And then I believe this takes the train to Talkeetna. I could be remembering that wrong. We have one train segment, but I think we take the train to Talkeetna. Maybe it's a motor coach to Talkeetna and then the train to Denali. So Talkeetna is my favorite city in Alaska. It's like 3 blocks and, it's just so cute. Great brewery.
I love Talkeetna and I've been to that brewery.
It's so adorable. And then back to Anchorage to fly out. So, it is a total of an 11-night trip. So we will, head back on the 7th, which means we might get back on the 8th.
Yeah. So you might see that race I was talking about.
When is that?
I feel like it's 4th of July.
Okay, so not the wildlife one, but the other one.
The midnight run, yeah.
Yeah. We might run into it on the way up, I guess. So, except for there's no stop. But there's some guided excursions inside the cruise tour, and then a lot of free time as well with optional excursions if you want to do them. So there's opportunities to flight see over Denali, do a dog sled tour, not necessarily ride one in the summertime up there, but some great opportunities. So I really wanted my kids to see as much of the Alaska as they could. And then they can go back when they're older and see more and maybe do some more of the off the beaten path kind of stuff, the Kenai and all that. But, that leaves June 26th. from Vancouver. So you'd want to arrive in Vancouver on June 25th and would be done on July 7th. It is possible also, if you just want to join us for the cruise part and not the land part, you could join in. It's not exactly the way that Royal Caribbean does groups, so you wouldn't get our group amenities, but you would be able to join us for dinner, which is totally fun.
Well, actually, I'd probably spend a couple extra days in Vancouver if I were you.
Oh, yeah, that's the plan.
Because Vancouver is such a really cool town.
Yeah. At this point, it's just a matter of how much time my husband can take off of work. So that's really the deciding factor. We'll be deciding that very soon.
That is the thing, right? Like, how much time do you have to do this last?
Well, and the other family that's going. So we leave on the 26th, and my birthday is the 28th, for those of you keeping track. Mm-hmm. And then my friend's birthday is the day before we technically get on the ship. So we kind of want to be in Vancouver to celebrate that birthday as well. Do both birthdays.
Nice.
So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to go going up to Vancouver in a few months to check it out, and then we'll decide for sure where we're going to stay. But we'll decide before then to buy air. We got to do that soon. So we'll make a decision soon. So if you want to join us, just reach out to info@outlandertravel.com and I can get you a quote.
So I do want to say, like, I have a group opportunity on Holland on the Koenigsdam. But it is a limited booking window from when this podcast will air. I have to have it booked by January 22nd of 2020. And it is just an inside passage round trip from Vancouver. So it's a little smaller taste of Alaska.
That's one of their newer ships.
It's the newer ship. And so if you want more information.
And Holland is one that's a little bit more educationally focused. Not that not the others aren't, but that's one of its key areas of focus. Yes.
Smaller ship. Mid-sized ship. Mm-hmm. And I would say more focused on the education. But then there's also the partnerships that they have with Oprah and with Billboard and with BB King. So there's quite a lot of music opportunities on board. The America's Test Kitchen. There's lots of.
Do you remember the day we did Glacier Bay, and then they had the show at night that had the orchestra playing footage? What was that part? Was it BBC or?
It was a partnership with BBC. It was BBC. That was incredible, and they have the wildlife on stage.
Yes.
I think it's called Wildlife on Stage. That show, that our performance like that will be on the sailing as well.
That was cool.
You said Wildlife on Stage, but we're not talking bears on the stage.
No, it's like really good wildlife footage, like high definition, a sitting orchestra playing to it.
It's like, I can only imagine, this footage is so incredible that I can only imagine, like, the photographers must have slept and ate in one spot for months and not moved a hair to get it. It's like that once in a lifetime shots of animals that you
kind of like Planet Earth and music.
Yeah. And the live orchestra. It was incredible.
It was very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So even though Lindsay and Elizabeth have groups, anybody can actually book into those groups. So you can call your Outlander travel agent and we can book into those groups as well. So,
and if you don't like those groups, there's lots of other opportunities. And if you have a group of your own, it's usually 8 cabins makes a group. But if you've only got 5 cabins, talk to us. We may have some opportunities to hook into other groups.
Yes. So that is our show for this week, and we want to thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. And you can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. So on behalf of George, Sandy, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, we want to thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.